Tuesday, July 18th, 2006. Assalamu alaikum everybody, peace be upon you. My name is Osama Abdallah and I'm the owner of www.answering-christianity.com. Tonight, we will discuss Jesus getting tempted by Satan and, quote, suffering, end quote, from him in the New Testament, and him doubting God Almighty and having second thoughts about him. I'd like to first post an audio clip by Sam Shamoun where he tried to respond to these points, and then I will refute him after that, inshallah, if Allah Almighty is willing. Here's Sam Shamoun's speech.
Let them know in the text that this is what we're doing. But now let me answer for sake and body. The question, why did Jesus accept Satan's invitation? Well, I guess you didn't hear me. I thought it was clear to the room. The reason why Jesus accepts his invitation is to conquer and overcome and to defeat him. He's defeating Satan by overcoming every temptation and trial he puts him to. Now, how is that not clear? The very purpose of Jesus going into the desert, and I said this in the beginning and everyone heard it, let me repeat it again. The very purpose of Jesus going into the desert, was so that Satan could tempt him and try to cause him to fail. Now, does everyone see that? Put a one. Now this guy's trying to be silly and saying, oh, obeying Satan is a sin. Oh, really? So you're saying because Jesus obeyed Satan, that's a sin? Or should you see it for what it says? God's will was, the Father's will was, that Christ enter the wilderness and face Satan's every trial and overcome and destroy him.
Okay, since we all agree that Satan has indeed tempted Jesus, then this, according to James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 in the New Testament, not only clearly proves that Jesus is not the creator of the universe, but also it proves that Jesus actually sinned against God Almighty when he allowed Satan to tempt him. Here is what the verses of James chapter 1 verses 13 through 15 say. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So Jesus did have evil desires when he got tempted by Satan. This, to the so-called perfect and infallible Jesus, is sin by itself, because we wouldn't expect evil desires by someone like him. And it certainly takes away the nonsense about him being perfect, because only God Almighty is perfect and no one else. Now, me as a Muslim, I believe that Jesus was a creation of God Almighty, a great prophet and a great servant to God Almighty, and he certainly was not perfect. Now, before we get into the verses where Jesus got tempted, I'd like to add that Jesus violated the Bible's Old Testament and his own commands in the New Testament about covet and lust. Let us look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Okay? So a person is forbidden to covet or lust after anything that his neighbor owns or has or possesses. Also, let us look at Jesus' own command in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Yet Jesus coveted the world in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, and chapter and Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. And by the way, the world that Jesus coveted does include sexual immorality in it, such as fornication and lust, that Jesus himself forbade. And I will demonstrate shortly from the Bible's verses that Jesus' temptation and coveting did include those immoralities. Let us look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So clearly, the law of covet and lust had been violated by Jesus when he was tempted by Satan, and when he was giving second thoughts about the world and its kingdoms. Lust by itself is another form of temptation. Okay, when a man looks at a woman lustfully, he is actually being tempted to have sex with her, illegal sex with her, such as fornication or adultery. And Jesus considered that by itself, the temptation itself, he considered it an adultery. Okay? Yet, Jesus himself violated his laws on covet and lust when he coveted the world and its kingdoms and gave them second thoughts. He actually doubted God Almighty and gave serious thoughts to following Satan and his footstep. And by the way, the splendor and pleasure of the world that Jesus seriously considered does include sex with women, as was the case with the Bible's prophets with their harems and slave girls. Let us look at the following examples from the Old Testament. Let us look at the book of Numbers, chapter 31, verses 17 through 18. Now kill all the boys and kill every woman who has slept with a man, but save for yourselves every virgin girl who has never slept with a man. And also, in 2 Samuel, second book of Samuel, chapter 5, verse 13, and first book of Chronicles, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and 4, and chapter 14, verse 3, King David had 6 wives and numerous concubines. Also, in the first book of Kings, chapter 11, verse 3, King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And also in the second book of Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 21, King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, had 18 wives and 60 concubines. So clearly, Jesus' thoughts about accepting Satan's offer did include the pleasures of this world, which obviously and indisputably includes lust and sex with women, especially with kings, as we saw the kings of the Bible, which also were the prophets, and their harems and all the harems and the slave girls that they had, and actually all the slaying, the killing of all the boys and the non-virgin women and girls, and only keeping the virgin girls. Which, by the way, according to the Jewish Talmud, They were as young as 3 years old. The people of Moses, the men of Moses, had sex with virgin girls who were as young as 3. Let us look at a few quotes from the Talmud. This is from Sanhedrin number 7/55b. Come and take note, a girl 3 years and 1 day old is betrothed by intercourse. In other words, she was deflowered, sexually deflowered by a man's genital through sexual intercourse. Also, let us look at Mishnah Nidda number 5/4. A girl 3 years and 1 day old is betrothed by intercourse. A girl 3 years old may be betrothed through an act of sexual intercourse. The words of R. Meir and sages say 3 years and 1 day old. You can go visit my website at www.answering-christianity.com/age3.htm, age3.htm, and read the Talmudic quotes that I just presented and much more quotes from the Talmud that give historical elaborations on the events that took place in the verses in Numbers, Book of Numbers, chapter 31, verses 17 through 18, and you be the judge. Jesus clearly contradicted his own commands about a temptation and a lustful look toward a woman being equal to adultery, because he himself committed that same adultery that he forbade upon his followers through his covet and lust to the world's kingdoms and pleasures. Now let us look at Mark chapter 1 verses 12 and 13 to see Jesus getting tempted by Satan. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Not only he was tempted by Satan, but he also, Jesus, was tempted by him while he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us look at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and ate at the end of them when he was hungry. They forgot to put the word when. Anyway, so notice that Jesus, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was yet dragged by Satan. He sinned and he was dragged by Satan into the wilderness, and he was tempted there. Also, not only Jesus was tempted by Satan despite the fact that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but the temptation also caused him to doubt God Almighty and to have second thoughts regarding him. This is clearly spelled out in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. Again, verse 18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So there's no question that Jesus' suffering wasn't something light. It was very serious, and he, at that time, was filled with doubts and perhaps even defiance against God Almighty, because he was literally between God Almighty and Satan's earthly kingdom, which, by the way, included lust and sex with women that are much bigger than his, quote, adultery, end quote, through a lustful look and temptation toward a woman. So clearly, Jesus, during his temptation, did not have power over himself, and only God Almighty, through his divine will and power and mercy, was able to release Jesus from the temptation. Jesus showed clear signs of weakness when he was faced with Satan's temptation, and he showed that he was absolutely powerless. It wasn't, as Sam Shimon put it, where Jesus purposely took on everything or every one of Satan's temptations to overcome them. It seems clear from the text that Jesus almost failed when he confronted Satan. Jesus had second thoughts regarding God Almighty, and as we saw in the James verses that I just narrated, along with the Matthew chapter 5 verse 28, where Jesus commanded or declared that if a man looks at a woman lustfully, if he's tempted to have sex with her, then he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Anyone who gets tempted is committing a sin. Okay? That is why the text says, and that is why Jesus commanded his followers to always pray to God Almighty alone to help them survive Satan's temptations, because not even the Holy Spirit could save them from it. As Jesus himself, as we just saw in Luke chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 verses, Jesus was tempted by Satan while he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us look at the following verses from the New Testament to see what Jesus told his followers regarding temptation. Let us look at Luke chapter 22 verses 45 and 46. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." In other words, you will not sin and fall into temptation and desire sinning against God Almighty. Because the desire itself, as we saw, is sin by itself, and Jesus committed that sin. Let us also look at Mark chapter 14 verses 37 through 39. Then he returned to his disciples and found them asleep, found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. So as we clearly and indisputably see in all of the New Testament verses that I just narrated, Jesus is not God Almighty, because God Almighty cannot be tempted, and yet Jesus was tempted. And only God Almighty can save his servants from Satan's temptation, and nothing, and no one else, not even the Holy Spirit, can do it, as we clearly saw in the verses that I just mentioned. So now with this, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters in Islam, I believe that I was able to once again demonstrate through this brief audio clip that Jesus is not God Almighty, and he is absolutely powerless without God Almighty, and he is only a creation and a servant of God Almighty and nothing more. He was a great prophet, a great servant, and a great creation from God Almighty, or of God Almighty. And that's it. He was not God Almighty himself. Thank you very much for listening, dear brothers and sisters in Islam and ladies and gentlemen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. May Allah Almighty's peace, mercy, and blessings be upon you, and also be upon your families as well. Thank you.